It's good to see some faces we've not seen in a little while. Raj, it's good to see you and your dear bride. It's good to see several of you back that's been here before. Maybe kind of missed you Sunday or two, but it's good to see my good friends back here. Miss Sharon, good to see you, honey. Good to see you, Miss Oki. It's good, always good to have the ones that's been out for a little while back. And I trust that the Lord's going to give you a blessing today. I have no axe to grind, but I'm going to be mean today. Is that all right? If I get just a little bit mean, I told Margaret, I said, let's go get mean. She said, well, this is a rough crowd around here, or something to that effect. Yeah. So she's been around here longer than I have. She knows who's mean and who's been naughty and who's been nice. The title of the message today is Conformed Christianity. And if we're not very careful, we're going to start going through the motions. We'll invite everything of the world, all the devices of the world into our lives, and we'll bring those things right into the middle of the church. Folks, Calvary is not supposed to be a happy place. I want to be happy that I'm here, and I want you to be happy that you're here. But it's not, happiness is not predicated upon you being here. We're supposed to be a holy place. And if we're holy in here, then bless God, we'll be happy in our life. We'll be holy. But I'd rather you be holy than be happy. You say, wait a minute, don't they go together? Joy comes from the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Don't you confuse joy with happiness. Happiness is ever fleeting, but joy remains. So as I preach today, you're going to have to open up to the book of Romans, chapter number 12. Probably some of the most quoted scripture you've ever heard in your life. And we quote it so much that we don't even preach from it. But God's given us this morning to preach on being conformed Christians or conformed Christianity. You'll find out in the scriptures where different people like the Apostle Paul maybe at one time had a following of people that loved him. And Varun, they not only loved Paul, but seemingly they loved the Lord that Paul was preaching about. And you'll know what I'm talking about here in just a minute. And he commends some of those people from time to time. He'll just lay it right out there and say that this one sent unto my necessity. I didn't desire the gift, but bless God, they sent it. And because they sent it, now they have fruit in their account. And bless God, I thank God for Tychicus, and I thank God for Aristarchus and Marcus. And then he says all these, but then he comes to a man by the name of Demas. And if you're not real careful, you're going to find out that we so often would slip on the shoes of a Demas and we would walk where Demas walks. We would do what Demas does. And you said, well, who was Demas? The Bible said that Demas was a follower of Christ. And as he was a follower of Christ, he was also one that walked with Paul. But whenever he was walking hand in hand with Paul, he, like so many of us, Brother Woody, would take his eyes off of the greater cause, off of the souls that needed to be saved. And at the time that Paul was preaching, he's preaching to a fledgling church. I'm talking about the birth of the church age. He's trying to convert from Judaism over to Christianity. He's taking the Jews and telling them that man that you hung back on the cross back at Jerusalem, that was the Messiah and that Messiah has come. But of the Orthodox of the Jews, they were going to refuse that and they still refuse it today. But bless God, if you ever find somebody from the Christian Jew Foundation, I'm talking about a true Jew that has been born again. I'm talking about a Messianic Jew. That man will enlighten you and he'll tell you, bless God, that Paul's story was correct. Paul being a Pharisee, Paul being a Jew, Paul being of that lock, stock, and barrel. He knew what it was to be schooled in the law under Gamaliel. And he knew what it was. But bless God, Brother John, when he met the Lord Jesus Christ and started walking with him, everything then changed. But he makes that little statement that Demas has forsaken me. And he doesn't stop there. What happened in the life of Demas that would cause the Apostle Paul, one of the all-time great preachers and evangelists and missionaries of the world, to pin it down in God's King James Bible, whenever the Holy Ghost breathed on him, what would cause the Holy Ghost to cause that to be pinned down, that Demas hath forsaken me, in those next sad words beyond that? What are those sad words? Anybody know and can quote them? Having loved this present world. That's what the scripture says, not what Pastor Mark says. And listen, I'm not mad at anybody, but I think sometimes we get fixated on the things of the world. I do. I see how good some people live and how good some people love and how good some people, everything's all about the world and the worldly scene and the world scene. And if you're not very careful, then you're going to say, well, why can't I partake in that? Why can't I dabble in that a little bit? Why can't I go and do this? Why can't I go do that? And the next thing you know, we will invite that stuff straight into the very house of God and we'll bring it in here with us. And I'm going to tell you, the two things do not worldly and God do not, worldly and holy, that don't occupy the same space. The same as bitter water, sweet water don't come out of the same fountain. The same as everything that I'm going to preach about today is about being a conformed Christian. And the Bible tells us not to be that. The Bible says to be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. You say, what about the heart? What's the mind made up to do something? The heart's going to follow. Why? Because the heart is deceived. You didn't say in your heart this morning, Brother Graham, I'm going to the Lord's house. No, you made up your mind. You said, I'm going to go. We are saved by grace through faith in that we've got a heart transplant. But this old head's still controlling the body. This old head's trying to decide, what are we going to do this evening? Where are we going to go eat? What are we going to do later? Those are not issues from the heart. The heart could care less where I eat. It just needs to know that, yeah, you're going to need some food to keep on thumping. But Brother Woody, the mind is where these devil tricks come in and starts tricking us and trying to trip us up. It's the heart that loves God. It's the heart that is the part of the man that the bowels of compassion come from. But it's that old mind. And bless God, you're to make your mind up on whose side you're going to be on. We got so many wishy-washy people. You're up and down, in and out like a yo-yo. You don't know if you're going to be here. Don't know if you can call. Brother Justin kept saying, Pastor, we don't have enough people put on Bible school. We just don't have enough people put on Bible school. What am I going to do? Put out a plea to some other church and say, hey, you got pastors? Y'all got any people we can use to run our Bible school? A few years ago, we sent a crowd of people up to Kentucky. What did we do up there? We put on a Bible school. Why, Brother Woody? Because there wasn't enough people up there to put on a Bible school. But that's a shame and a disgrace in the church of 250 people that you have to beg people to do stuff. And I'm going to tell you where it's at. Your mind's not made up. Stand all over the house of God tonight. This morning, we'll read our scriptures. And listen, I love you. I love every one of you. Vote me off the island, kick me off the curb. I don't really care. I'll go with my head held high, loving every one of you. And that's just the way it is. I love you too, sweetie. Come on up here now. You can preach with me. You want to preach with me? Come up here. That got her back in the pew. This is written by Paul. And understand, this is not written to the lost people. Who is the book of Romans written to? Who? The church, which was back at Rome. It's written to Christians. So whenever he says these words, and these are very familiar words, but sometimes they're so familiar that we just skip them. We just quote them. We'll be preaching in another passage of Scripture, and we'll refer back to the text that says, oh, be not conformed to this word, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you might know without good and perfect, except the will of God. And we'll just keep on trucking. We ought to slow down and look at that. Paul says, I beg you. Start out in verse number one. He said, I beseech you. When somebody beseeches you, what are they doing? They're begging you. They have an earnest pleading in their heart on your behalf. He said, I beseech you. And what's the next word? What's the next two words in? Therefore, brethren. Now, that eliminates the fact that he's not talking to lost people. He's not giving this discourse of Scripture to a bunch of people that are lost and hell-bound. There's no hope for them. Robbie, stick a fork in them. They're done. They're going to hell. There ain't nothing we can do to change it. He's not writing that to these people. He's writing that to the ones that are supposed to be lovers of God. He's writing this to the ones supposed to be saved. He says, brethren. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now, we could preach right there by the mercies of God for the next 2 hours. Yes. But it's God, it's by the mercies of God that I'm standing here before you today. Yes, because if it wasn't for God's tender mercy, Brother Tam, I'd be in hell with a broke back and every disease that ever been upon me. But by the mercies of God, he says these words. Present your bodies. A living sacrifice. Holy. Did you understand that one? It didn't say happy. It said holy. And then it says acceptable unto God. How many of us are acceptable unto God? You say, well, about 80% of the time I am. Well, let me tell you, would you continue to use a bank that processed every one of your loan payments 80% of the time correctly? No, you're going to get rid of that banker pretty quick. If every time you take $1,000 to the bank, put it in the bank, you go back to check. That banker took $200 for himself, and the $800 of it went in your account. And then the next time you go back to your bank and say, what happened? I've deposited $1,000, and you only give me a credit for $800. You're not going to use that banker whenever you find out that he's a thief. But, bless God, are we not doing the same thing to God by robbing God? We are, Brother Woody. I'm telling you the truth this morning. We rob God by not presenting our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is both holy and acceptable unto God. I'm finding out right now, Brother Woody, we're in the Laodicean church. And, bless God, we could be called the Laodicean church. You said it in Sunday school, not even fully knowing what I was preaching today. But, bless God, we've become lukewarm. What does lukewarm Christianity do to a thrice holy God? It makes him sick. Let's read our scripture. I'll keep y'all on you. Hey, if I have to stand, y'all can stand. Now, we'll just read it real quick. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Man, that's a mouthful. Brother Troy Barron's asked God to bless our scripture. Amen. As you're being seated down, you fathers and you mothers and you grandparents and us husbands and us you wives. Bless God, there's something about being holy. And your kids are going to pick up on it as quick as they see you. And they're going to look at their lives and they're going to look at your life. They're going to look at your life. They're going to look at their life. And they're going to say, if it's not important to Daddy, it's not important to me. Brother Woody, I've seen this stuff. It's not just traveling ball, but that'd be a good place to start. Anything that keeps you out of church. There was a young quarterback. I can't even call his name, but it was down in Arkansas, and he was the winningest quarterback in the state of Arkansas. I'll try to get the name, but this is not some parable. This is a God's honest true story. And that boy was the one that was going to win, and he was going to take them to the championship. And everybody in the country was wanting to challenge that team. And there was a rivalry on the other side of the county or state that put out the plea and said, let us fight you. Let us play you on the gridiron and let us do that and show you who the boss is. Well, bless God, every Friday night, Brother Tam, they're already playing on the field and they're playing everybody in their conference and division. And while they're out there playing in their conference and division, Brother Tim, they're just eviscerating everybody. They're just killing everybody. And ain't nobody able to stop them. But there's a coach on the other side of town, on the other side of the state, Brother Tam said, we got your daddy. We'll probably never play because we ain't even in the same conference, but we'll take you. And the only time we can play you will be midweek. We'll just call it a scrimmage. We'll just call it this way or that way. And then you all can come together and we're going to put our kids against your kids and we're going to take you to the cleaners. And they said, we're meeting at your house on Wednesday night. And that coach said, you're not meeting at our house on Wednesday night because that's our star quarterback's night that he goes and serves and worships the Lord. And he said, then you're telling us you can't win without your star quarterback. He said, that's exactly what I'm telling you. And I'm telling you that our star quarterback goes to church at the Lord's house on a Wednesday night. So therefore, we're not playing you on a Wednesday night. You pick another week and we'll go to match with you. But that's the kind of devotion. That's the kind of devotion, Brother Woody, that we need, that somebody's going to say, I'm sold out unto the Lord. My mind is made up. My heart is in love with Jesus, but my heart is deceived. It's deceitful and it's desperately wicked. The heart has passions and lust after a different thing. But Brother Tim, if you'll make your mind up, that heart will go where your mind's at. That's why the Bible said to choose you this day and whom you're going to serve. What's that all about, Brother Woody? It's making your mind up. When Nehemiah was trying to rebuild the wall, and in 52 days built we the wall, and that the wall was completed. Why was it completed? Because that little phrase in there said, for the people had a mind to work. Bless God, they put their mind to it. But a lot of times somebody says, well, I got about half a mind to go to church this morning. Well, what happens is you come in here half-hearted and half-minded, and then that other half, it's not even here anyway. You might as well just stay at the house because you said, well, I got a half a mind. What about the whole mind, being fully persuaded in your heart? Who am I going to love? Who am I going to serve? What kind of a witness am I going to present to my children? What are my grandchildren going to see? Do they see Papa wishy-washy, come as you go, happy-go-lucky? When the stock market's up, Papa's up. When the stock market's down, Papa down. When Papa got a good health report, Papa's good to go. But whenever Papa or Mama gets a bad health report, poor, they're down in the muddy grub. I'm not saying you won't get sick, and I'm not saying you won't get a little bit discouraged whenever you do get sick, but bless God, you keep on serving the Lord. You keep on praying. You keep on staying in here, and the closer you get to God, the more comfort you're going to find while you're there. Am I right or wrong? Paul just starts this discourse off, and he says, I beseech you. I guess as a pastor this morning, I'm just beseeching people. I beg you, make up your mind. Whose side you're on? Who are you going to worship? Is there a question in your heart whenever the doors are open here on a Wednesday night that we're going to the Lord's house? Or do you have to say, well, the yard's not been mowed. See, it's been raining now for 3 weeks, and it's finally stopped. I got this little brief intermission, Brother Dean. I believe I can mow the yard this evening. Are you going to stay home and mow the yard? Bless God, I wish that somebody spread with Roundup while you're over here, and then you wouldn't have to worry about mowing it. Or if you're going to stay home and mow it, why, you should be over here worshiping God. Get you some goats. You can mow it and fertilize it all at one big time and be done with it. They'll fertilize it, keep it cut way down. You don't even have to worry about it, brother. Just get you some goats. Get you some nanny goats, you'll have milk. That's a win-win-win. But no, see, what I'm saying is our minds are not made up, Brother Troy. Paul said, I beg you, I beseech you to make your mind up. We're going to use somebody by the name of Peter. I don't even need notes today, y'all get. Somebody said the other night, I said, throw them stupid notes away. They're just confusing you. I'm going to use Peter again. Peter the boisterous, Peter the spontaneous, Peter the great. Lord, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. How many times, Brother Tim, you ever hurt somebody? Maybe here, maybe down the road where you come from, maybe where you'll go the next time. But bless God, you've heard them say, I'm going. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to worship him. I'll do great things for God. Amen. Where are they at? A team of FBIs and Texas lawyers and all the warrants and everybody else, all the FBI and BOLOs and be on the lookout for, couldn't find them. Why? Because they're somewhere else doing whatever they want to do. Why? Because their hearts are fickle and their minds made up. I'll do whatever I want to do. Paul said, I beseech you. I beg you. But when we look at these people that's minds were made up, Peter immediately comes to my mind, Lord, I'll go with you. If it cost me my life, that's what he said, Brother Robbie. He said, if it cost me my life, I'll go with you unto death. And he said, Peter, you don't even know what you're saying. You ain't that strong, Peter. Peter thought that he was. Peter thought that he was that big of a man. He thought that he was that strong. But let me tell you, every single one of us in here, we're no match for Satan. And whenever we think that, Brother James, saying, I'll be so bold as to say that, I'd never do that. We look down our long noses at other people and think, boy, I'd never do that. When you say, I would never do that, you know what you're fixing to do? You're fixing to have a test. You're fixing to have a temptation put before you that's going to just see how strong you are. Peter said, I won't do that. The Lord said, Peter, there's going to be a rooster crow tomorrow morning. He gets up about the same time every day. About the time that that sun starts cracking over the eastern sky, that sun coming up, you start to hear the rooster crow. Oh, Pete, before that thing crows in the morning, you're going to deny me. Not just once, but you shall deny me thrice. Oh, not me. Lord, you got me confused with some of them other people. Preacher, you got us confused with some of them other people that's not here. Now, I'm not preaching to the ones that are not here. We don't worry about them, Brother Robbie. They can get a CD and listen to it later and get a scalding or a scolding or whatever you want to call it. But what I'm saying is this. Peter made that boisterous statement. Lord, I'll go with you. Then where was he at? Where was he at? Hey, let's turn with me to the book of Mark real quick. I'll show you where he was at. All right, let's just go to Luke. It's in Mark, but I didn't have it marked up in Mark. It's in Mark if you're going there, 14, 53, and 54. But I'm in the book of Luke, going to take my reading out of Luke. Chapter number 22, verse number 54. Bible said they took him and led him and brought him into speaking of Christ and led him to the brought him to the high priest's house. And Peter followed. Y'all see that? They've got Christ. He's been apprehended. Who was the one there that was recorded in the book of John that jerked out his sword and whipped off Malchus's ear? That was Peter. That was Peter, brother. They come to get my Savior. They've come to get my Lord, my Master, my King, my friend. They've come to get him, my Redeemer, my hope. Oh, Peter just jerks out his sword and whew, I don't believe he was aiming for Malchus's ear either. Brother Jody, I believe he was aiming for Malchus's neck. I believe he'd have sunk that thing right in there if he could have, but what he did, he just grazed the side of his head and took his ear off. That's Pete. That's the same one we're talking about. But what's that next word when I stop reading? Where at?
Afar off.
Afar. What does that mean? Go ahead and give it to me in Greek.
Afar off.
Not near. How many of us are following him from afar? I mean, you'd like to think that you come to church every Sunday that you're following very closely. But let me tell you, you can be sitting on a church pew every time the doors of this blessed and holy place is open and be just as lost as a ball in high weeds and die and go to hell from a church pew because you thought you were following him closely. But Brother Derek, you weren't even following him at all because you're none of his. But being a conformed Christian is one that's already saved. This book was written in the book of Romans in chapter number 12 to the church. He said, I beseech you, brethren, that you get your hearts around this thing and you make your mind up who you're going to follow. I would love to see Calvary bust a wall down. But I'm going to tell you a private conversation with my wife. I'm asking my wife, I said, do we really need it? I asked myself, look, Brother Steve could fit two. We got a whole pew here that's empty. Right over there's a big hole. And I look and I say, Brother Tim, if we're going to build, we're going to build for the future. But let's go, we better fill up what we got. And if we're going to spend $2 or $3 million, my friend, I don't have that kind of money. I'll get some off of you. But I'm asking myself, do we look forward and do we grow with God and go with God as he is leading us? And I believe that he is. But let's go, some of us are going to make our mind up. Peter followed afar off. And then if you'll keep reading, I want you to see what happens. As a little maiden fixed eyes on him and said, you're one of them. What happened? My wife, whenever bless her heart years ago, she said, here we go. We got married. I took her to South Dakota with me. They don't generally hear the Southern Belle type of accent out there. They just don't. And she was working for a doctor downtown. She had graduated college while I was gone, come home, got her, took her with me. And Brother Tim, people would call her office just to hear her answer the phone. True story. Can I help you? No, I just called to hear you talk. Or probably, no, I, can I help you? Can I help you? How did you say that? I don't know, but she sounded like a redneck. She sounded like somebody from Wilkes County. Brother Tim, we've been at the beach. We've been at the Outer Banks, down on all the way down at Rodanthe or further, walking on the beach, and run up to somebody and say, beautiful day. As they said, what part of Wilkes County are you from? I'm telling you the truth. Are you near that North Wilkesboro Motor Speedway? Because you sound just like them. I'm like, what, I sound like a race car? No, you sound like a hillbilly. Paul, the Bible said that Peter's speech bereath, or it gave him up. It told the story. His vernacular was sounding like the ones that he had been following. He had started sounding like them, talking like them. And Brother Robbie, here's what Peter did to remedy that. He said, I'll fix that real quick. Look with me in verse number. Certain man, where are we at? He went down through here and said he denied him. And after a little time, he saw another. And thou art one of them, Peter said. And of the space of an hour, another one confidently affirmed of truth, this man's him. And Peter said, I know not. Where's that where it said he cursed? That must have been one of the other gospels. I wanted to hear it because I wanted to read it. Go back, if you wanted to follow it, like I said, these are what we call synoptic gospels. They're in all of them. They all tell the same story, but they're delivered from a different point of view or a different thing. But in Matthew, actually 26, in verse number 74, listen at this. The Bible said that speaking of Peter, that he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. So what are you saying? I'm saying that Peter had conformed himself unto those that he was with now. The Bible said that he followed afar off. And the Bible said while they were there kindling a fire in Pilate's judgment hall, Brother Robbie, that Peter goes out there, and it's in another scripture. It said that while he was there in the hall, that a fire was kindled, and Peter's sitting there warming himself by the fire. He's blending right in. He's a chameleon. You know what a chameleon is? You ever heard of chameleonic activity? That's the one that the man has a way to, yeah, Brother Grant, has a way to change. You can change mannerisms. You can change behaviors. You can change speech. You can change a lot about yourself, Brother John, to blend into your surrounding environment without being discovered. I think we've got a bunch of chameleons. I believe we've got a bunch of people that can change their verbiage and change their words on the spur of the moment. And if they're with a cussing crowd, they'll give the ear. If need be, they'll even give the word. And the next thing you know, bless God, where is your Christianity in all of that? You have conformed unto the world. And conformed Christianity is not going to help anybody. The man that works beside you that might die and go to hell because he don't even know that you're saved. Shame on you. You need to be winning him to the Lord. But you have conformed in your Christianity to the world. And the word is telling us not to do that. The Bible said to be not conformed in the Bible. Is the world, am I right or wrong? Is the world anything that is fleshly or carnal or, I'm trying to use words that you could fully understand. Is that not what the flesh wants to do? Fleshy. That's what we see when we see a picture of the world. That's what this flesh wants to do. It wants to be worldly because it's created out of dirt. I have carnal desires. But whenever we're saved, bless God, we need to make our mind up. That heart, that God puts that heart of flesh in our heart that can love and feel and be moved and wooed. That mind's going to have to direct that body to say, hey, we're going to the Lord's house. Make your mind up. The Bible said, be not conformed to the world. Don't take on the worldly vices and worldly image and the worldly language and everything that concerns the world. The Bible said, but be you transformed. Not conformed, but be you transformed. How? Through the renewing of your mind. That's why it's important for us to hold revivals and have jubilees and crusades and put good, healthy stuff in here, because when it goes in here and goes in here, it's going to help us or it's going to hurt us. That's what the Bible says. It wasn't just his speech that gave him away. He was in the wrong place. Going to the wrong places will get you in trouble. He was hanging out with the wrong crowd, Brother Woody. He's in there warming himself by the enemy's fire. Kids, have you ever had something that goes on and I'm talking to every single one of us, Brother Joe. We were kids at a time. We were all young at a time. Have we not been with the wrong crowd at a time or two? And stuff started going south in a hurry. And we the only one that's trying to be moral. We're the only one trying to be upright. We're the only one trying to be holy. But yet they're the whole lot that's not holy. And Brother John, it's hard to be unholy in an unholy world. It's hard to be upright in an unrighteous world. And the next thing you know, you just go along with them. Just go right along with them. Why? Because to rock the boat, to go against the grain is just too hard for us. Why? Because the flesh is weak. We've all been there. Try this, do this. Well, I thought you were one of us. The Lord said the same thing. He said, if you ain't with us, you're against us. If you ain't gathering, you're scattering. That's what he's had to say about the deal. It's being with the wrong people. Iron sharpeneth iron. Preston, get around people that's sharp. That'll sharpen you up. Get around people that are holy. That'll help you with your holiness. You get around people that are scallywags, that's cussing, swearing, up, down, in, and out. Don't care if the Lord comes back or does or don't. If you go to church or not, that's what attitude you're going to have. I don't care if we go or not. Shouldn't be a question in your mind whether you're going to the Lord's house. You say, we ain't coming back over here. Then find you one. Find you a good one. But be careful when you join it that you don't mess it up. We ain't perfect over here. If we were, we wouldn't have had you in here. And you know what? They'd get rid of me. Because ain't none of us perfect. Paul said, I beseech you. I beg you. I guess as a pastor this morning, John, I'm just begging God's people to do what's right. To do what's honorable. To do what's just. To pick good friends. Peter was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He was following, running with the wrong crowd. And when you do that, there's going to be a price to pay. It's going to happen. It's inevitable. It's going to happen if you keep running with the wrong crowd. Not only was his speech wrong, some of you just soon listen to a dirty joke as tell one, but some of you is a teller of the joke. I never could tell a good joke. I usually miss the punchline, mess it up long before the end of the story. And then you see preachers, they get up here and first thing they do, get you in the floor laughing, telling jokes. I've never been a jokester. Sometimes they'll come out in my stupidity, but I'm not a joke teller. But some of you love telling dirty jokes. Some of you love listening to them. Your speech is going to give you up. You walk, you talk, your mannerisms. You said, yeah, but old Peter was bold. He was bold 10 minutes ago. He was bold, but I know that. 10 minutes ago, I might have been bold. Today, Brother Tam, I can't even lift my head up because I've been beat down. That's the way a lot of us are. Brother James, we get beat down. Circumstances come our way. False accusations are hurled at us. All kinds of things come to us, and we have to fend that stuff off. So we ought to change that camouflage. Where's my brother Anthony here today? I thought I saw him come in. What do y'all call those BDUs now that you wear? We call them BDUs. ABUs. Digital camo, what are they? Digital camo ABUs. I had a desert, I had the woodland BDUs. Brother Dennis, you might have had a jungle type of a BDU or all greens. You know what that was? That's to help you in your environment. Whether you're in the desert sands, you may have digital camo sand print. If you're in the Arctic, you may have a white. You know what that is? That's our camouflage. That helps us to blend in with our surrounding and environment. Wouldn't we be better off to put on the armament of God out of Ephesians chapter number 6, Brother Tam? Take off the camouflage and just put on the armor. And you know what? Your armor is going to be your armor. I got too many people running around today, Brother Woody, trying to wear Saul's armor. That ain't going to work for me. Brother John, where's your coat at? Did you wear a jacket? Is this your jacket? I'm going to use Brother John's. Chris ain't here. Chris would be a better illustration because he's a little bit bigger than I am. But Tam, is this mine? Does it look good on me? You don't even think it looks good? Gary, I'm glad you don't have one. What's wrong with it? It's too big for me. What was it said about Saul, Brother Tam, whenever he was picked by the Lord sent Samuel to anoint him to be the king? He was head and shoulders above the rest, was he not? What did the Bible say about David? What was he? The word was R-U-D-D-Y. He's a ruddy little lad. He's a ruddy little lad of the house of Jesse. And if you get a ruddy little lad, I'm talking about a Chad Spears, and you put on, where's your Chad Spears? Come here, brother. Give me your jacket. And you put his on. I'm going to make an illustration here. It's going to hit home to you in just a minute. Come up front, too. You ain't going to hide behind your wife. You've been doing that too long. Help me here. Now, that's a problem. Now, just for a minute, I'm going to be Saul. And I ain't got on my armor. If this is mine, Brother Dean, and the enemy starts to hurl some darts toward me, some fiery darts, what else is going to happen? My whole chest is exposed. But according to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, Brother Joe, we ought to put on the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. We ought to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Case in point, right here is David. Now, I'm going to show you about this armor. This armor's not, it's armament, Brother Woody. Keeping on. I ain't done yet. I'm trying to get out of this thing. A beastly bulging man in a blue leisure suit. Did anybody ever study out how much the armament of a soldier would have weighed? They used the word in shekels, so I didn't do the conversion of it. But this thing would have been very, very heavy for him to have on Saul's armor. And he says, I've not proved this. He said, it's not mine. It doesn't fit me. It's a little bit big for me. And how am I going to go into battle? Go ahead, Brother Champ. Give that back to Brother John. You say, what are you talking about? Bless God, you're not going to get to heaven on somebody else's righteousness. You're going to go on your own, and you're not going to be able to fend off the wiles of the devil and the darts and fiery darts of Satan while you're blending in, trying to look like a chameleon in your camouflaged attire, coming to the Lord's house once in a blue moon, coming in here happy-go-lucky if you want to, popping your gum, sticking it up under the dentine under the chair and pulling out juicy fruit. And you ain't going to win anybody, and you're not going to convince anybody that you are what you say you are when you do that. Got to do it on your own. You need to change that camouflage in. Get off your ABUs or your BDUs or your solid greens, Brother Varun, and get into the Word of God and arm yourself with what He said. Turn to, I didn't even get it all. I misquoted it. Ephesians chapter number 6. We'll go there very quickly. I want to show you that if you'll do this, then you will conform to the image of His Son, and you will not conform to the world. You will conform to the image of His Son. You will be transformed in the renewing of your mind. He said in chapter number 6, it says to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. And then he goes on down through here and said, this is what you should have on. Verse number 14 says, having your loins girt about with the truth. Who's the truth? What is the truth? Is there an absolute truth anymore? It's been determined in 2018 that there is no truth. Scientists have proven that there is no absolute truth anymore. Science is a liar. Amen. Bible said in John chapter 14, verse number 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Everybody, let every man be a liar, but he's truth. So put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it said, not only put on the Lord Jesus Christ or put on truth, but having on the breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What's the gospel? It's this book we're preaching out of. Brother John, you ought to memorize some of it. Hide it in your heart, as the psalmist said, that you might not sin against God. And that way, whenever your little feet, you remember the song the little kids used to sing, oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Peter wouldn't have been by the enemy's fire if his little feet had been thinking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had had his feet shod with the preparation. He wouldn't have been in that place. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. He wouldn't have been looking at them as they beat Jesus. He might have even been like Paul and counted it all worthy to suffer a little bit alongside of the dear Savior right there. And be careful, little ears, what you hear. You wouldn't be listening to the junk of this world from the filth vileness of the world. Peter would have been a whole lot better off if he'd have took this advice. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you touch. Oh, be careful, little, all the story the kids sing. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all. Why above all? Above all. What's the next part of this? What's this when I'm reading it? What about, why that? Why is that above all? Because you're not going to be transformed into His likeness. You're not going to be conformed to the image of His Son. You're not going to be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. You're not going to be able, whenever I say, I beseech you, Brother Troy, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. You're not going to be able to do that if you don't have what that says above all, faith. Why? Because you are saved by grace through faith. He said, and above all, having on the shield of faith. And then it says, that you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take on the helmet of salvation. Why is that important? What are we preaching about today? What's the breastplate cover? It covers this. What's the helmet cover? It covers your head. Brother Tim, what's this thing saying? To be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Do you think there's any coincidence that the Lord told us in His book that all the ways of a double-minded man. See, I ain't good at telling the scriptures. I tell you, I mess up a punchline on a joke. I mess up the scriptures. The ways of a double-minded man. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Why? Because he's double-minded. He's everywhere. He's not steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. He's the one, Brother Woody, come as you go, come as you are, leave as you come. Nothing changes, but at least I went to church. I went to McDonald's yesterday. Do I look like a French fry? I don't think so. Rune, you been to the garage yet to see your brother lately? You don't look like a Mack truck. You don't look like a car. You don't even look like a, just look like a brother in Christ. Brother John, you been to Engle store setups? Anything like, you don't look like an Engle. We don't look like what we are. We look like Christ. You should exhibit Christ. I love your testimony. That's a parable that I will be telling. He took out dirty. Put your name in there. He took yours out. The great physician, the high courts of heaven, Brother Woody, that's all he's wanting. He's wanting us to be holy. Let's go back to our scriptures. I'm going to finish up here in just a second. The Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I preached a message some time ago. Brother Scott, come. Miss Macy, come. We're going to finish up on this note. I preached a message some time ago. I guess the number one question asked of me as a pastor. You say, what is that? How to find comfort during times of bereavement or loss? No, I'm asked that. Pastor, why do good things happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? I get that. Pastor, what about this? Pastor, what about that? The number one question of all my ministry, Brother Varun, has been this. How can I know the will of God for my life? That's a good question. It's one that every person should examine and try to see for themselves. And in that message, some of you are going to remember that message, that some of you that write stuff down. God will not reveal a larger portion of himself or his will for your life, Ryan Hall, until you're already doing what you know is his will. Why is he going to give you more of his will? Why is he going to demonstrate a greater portion of his perfect will if you don't already do what you know to do? You say, well, what is that? Well, the Bible says that you must be born again. That is God's will, because he said he is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to him. It is God's will that you be saved. If it's his will that everybody be saved, then why are so many going to hell? Because they're not doing the will of God. It is his will that you go to a local assembly of believers. It is. Forsaking not the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but even more, Brother Tim, as you see the day approaching. It is God's will, Brother Tim, that you read that blessed book. We're not in Catholicism where you're discouraged from reading it. Bless God, you can pick it up and read it for yourself. You don't have to have me to interpret it or anybody else. Brother Troy, you can read that for yourself. But if that's his will, you said, show me. The Bible said to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You don't need to know more than that, Tim. He said, do it. You want to know more about God? Read the word. Why? Because in the beginning, the word was with God. The word was God, my friends. You want to know more about God? Read his book. So we don't go. If we don't go to church, we know we should pray. Brother Tim, we should pray earnestly. Why? Because people's parents are depending on our prayers. People's children are depending on our prayers. Brother Tommy, why would we not pray? Whenever he just said, you can now therefore come sheepishly. That's not what he said. He said you can come boldly before the throne of grace and obtain mercy. Brother Woody, we can go right into the throne room of God.
Amen.
But we don't pray. We don't study. We don't pray. We don't go to church faithfully. I'm telling you, my friends, whenever I look at it, we are living in an age of conformed Christianity. I'll use this in the Sunday school class and then we're going to leave. When Brother John come back from Ghana, Africa, some years ago, he made a statement. Brother John, I'm going to summarize. I'm paraphrasing. I'm not putting words in your mouth because I don't remember the verbatim quote. But you said those people over there were hungry for the gospel. And you said you believed in your heart that you were sent over there for one Muslim. Is that right or wrong? I believe that's what you said. And you said in coming back that we have Americanized the gospel. That was the quote you used. When we Americanize the gospel, it's namely this. We just want enough to make us look good. Not enough to make us good. Brother Jody opened up our Sunday school class this morning. He probably said it 50 times. If he said it once, he said, I'm not good. I'm not a good person, but I'm saved. If you're saved, that goodness is in you, but it's of the Lord. So if we are living in an age of conformed Christianity, that would take me to the book of the Revelation. I hit a lick on it earlier, and I'm going to close with this. The Laodicean church is neither hot nor cold. It's neither hot, neither is it cold. He said it was lukewarm. Are we not lukewarm at times? Brother Potts, are we not lukewarm at times? I believe we are, Brother Tam. And you know what lukewarmness does to our Savior? It makes him sick. He said, I want to spew you out of my mouth. I want Calvary to be a church on fire. I do, Brother Tam. I want this place to be a soul winning station. I want it to be a place where people can come in here, Brother Tam, and feel the power of God when they drive by, when they pull in the parking lot. Man, I can't wait to get in there. God's showing up. God's doing something there. And I want them to get in on that. I want to be in on it. Now listen, you say, then we need to shout more? Mm-mm. Need to run more? No, we don't need to run more. We need to shout more. But boy, we do need to be more holy. We need to be more honorable in the sight of Almighty God. There's too many programs, too many things. I ain't saying we grow it by this measure or that. But as we stand over the house of prayer today, is it possible that you have become conformed in your Christianity? Paul warns against that. He said, don't be that way. He said, be not conformed to the world. The Bible says a lot about the world. That if any man loves the world, what's it say? The love of the Father. It's not any. I didn't say that. The Bible did. We're at enmity with the world. There's a wedge in there, Brother John. There's a division in there. Why? Because the world is carnal. It's against God. It is anti-Christ as a whole. And you're supposed to be Christ-like. That ought to cause a problem. If you always feel like the square peg in a round hole, that's a good sign, Brother Tam. I do. I feel like a tick on a dog's back sometimes. I'm just out of place. I do. I don't feel like sometimes I fit in anymore. We're pilgrims, Brother Woody. Why are we pilgrims? Because we're on a journey.
Amen. Yes.
And we sometimes seem like mere strangers.
That's right, brother.
Why would you feel like a stranger? Because you just don't quite fit in. That's the way we should feel. I'm good with whoever I'm with. My old drinking buddy Scott here. And my choir leader Scott. That works real good. God help us. What have you got, Brother Scott? I believe he is too.